This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has issued a memo directing federal prosecutors to seek the maximum penalty for crimes, including drug-related offenses. The move is Sessions' most serious as Attorney General so far, and overturns a major criminal justice reform of the Obama administration. In his memo, Sessions writes, quote, "This policy affirms our responsibility to enforce the law, is moral and just, and produces consistency," end of quote. Under Obama, Attorneys General Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch began taking steps to address the skyrocketing federal prison population. All of that, particularly the reforms on mandatory minimum sentencing, may now be overturned under Donald Trump. My guest is Anthony Papa. He is a manager of media and artist relations with the group Drug Policy Alliance. He is also the author of This Side of Freedom, Life After Clemency, and 15 to Life, How I Painted My Way to Freedom, which is a memoir about his experience of being sentenced to state prison for first-time nonviolent drug offense under New York's draconian Rockefeller drug laws. Welcome to the program, Anthony.
Thank you for having me here.
So first, let's talk about what it was that began to happen under the Obama era. We began to see, even from the Republican Party, an admission that we were imprisoning way too many people. And of course, the federal government can only control what people in federal prison experience and how federal prisoners are sentenced. And they started looking at these mandatory minimum sentencing guidelines in particular, where drug offenses can, even if they involve very small amounts of drug, can land you in jail for prison for a very long period of time. So were we starting to see some real progress under Obama?
Yes, we had tremendous progress under Obama. Mandatory minimum sentencing is a failure. It's a proven failure. And in August of 2013, Eric Holder actually put out a memo to prosecutors telling them not to use mandatory minimum sentencing. Basically, it was to save people's lives. Hundreds of thousands of people, nonviolent drug offenders, were being arrested and placed in prison under the provisions of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. It actually broke the criminal justice system. And basically, they tried to scale back the penalties in drug crimes. Now, Sessions has chosen to bypass this and go back in the past to reinstate these mandatory minimum sentencing laws that have become a proven failure. They broke the criminal justice system, wasting not only valuable tax dollars, but human lives and money that could be spent on needy communities. It's totally outrageous. And I think once President Trump realizes that this is not a good thing, they're going to revert back in some way where Obama and Eric Holder try to fix this broken system of justice. I think that what they're doing is they're creating an epidemic. They're saying that because of the opioid epidemic, something must be done. But my argument is that, you know, many people are being put in prison that have substance abuse problems, addicted people. That's not the answer. People with addictions, drug problems, should be treated by doctors, not punitively treated and be thrown in prison.
And Anthony, so it sounds like from the memo, it sounds like Sessions may have been implying that there was an inconsistent application of the existing laws that happened under Obama with Attorneys General Holder and Lynch. And I'm wondering, and so he's basically wanting to make it consistent again. He never once in his memo mentions the word drug offenses or drug-related mandatory minimum sentencing. saying, but does that language suggest to you that he thinks drug convictions and people in convicted of drug offenses were somehow getting some kind of lenient treatment, inconsistent treatment under Obama?
Yes, for sure. I mean, he can't hide the facts. You know, Sessions came into office, and us activists, you know, I've been an activist for many years, and many activists, you wondered what was going to happen under newly elected President Trump. Well, when he put Sessions in as Attorney General, you know, our greatest fear became a reality. And what they're doing now is trying to reverse all the progress that was given from the Obama administration in the war on drugs. People were being locked up, hundreds of thousands of people, nonviolent drug offenders. It broke our system. States had to find a way to reduce their budgets. And they did this by reducing mandatory minimum sentencing, doing away with them,
and just to quickly,
you know, letting people out of prison.
Let's quickly explain what it means. We hear this term mandatory minimum sentencing, and let's talk about your own case where you basically became the victim of that. What is a mandatory minimum sentencing guideline? It's something that exists at the federal level as well as at the state level. At, you know, in different states, it's slightly different. So what happened to you?
Okay, in 1985, I made the biggest mistake of my life. I got involved with drug activity. I was bowling in a league in Yonkers, New York. I came late to the league, and my teammates say, "Why are you coming late? My car broke down. Why don't you fix it? I have no money." He introduced me to a drug dealer that dealt drugs in the bowling alley of Westchester County. When I met the guy, I knew what he was doing. I didn't want to be involved. A couple of months later, I get a call. I was desperate. It was Christmas time. I had no money. When you get desperate, you do stupid things. And he said, "Bring this envelope up from the Bronx to Mount Vernon, containing 4 ounces of coke, and you make $500, like a carrot dangling on a string." I did it, brought it up, walked into a police sting operation. 20 cops came out of nowhere, placed under arrest, did everything I could do wrong, went to trial, and was sentenced under the mandatory provisions of the Rockefeller drug laws to 2 15 to life sentences.
Wow.
Since it was a first-time nonviolent drug offender, the judge gave me a break and only sentenced me to 1 15 to life sentence. I was sent to Sing Sing prison, didn't know what to do, and then it was how to survive. It was a nightmare experience. There I discovered my talent as an artist. One night I was sitting in my cell, 1988, after 3 years, I picked up a mirror, looked in the mirror, saw an individual who's going to spend the most productive years of his life in a cage, and I painted a self-portrait titled 15 to Life. 7.5 years later, it wound up at the Whitney Museum of American Art, where I got a lot of publicity on my case, and the governor of New York, Governor George Pataki, granted me executive clemency. Came out, started a group, Mothers of the New York Disappeared, became leading activists, group in New York State to fight the draconian Rockefeller drug laws that mandated mandatory minimum sentencing. In my case, the judge did not want to give me 15 years.
Right. In fact, these laws actually hamper judges when it comes time to sentencing, right?
It handcuffs them because they have no choice. The judge had to give me 15 to life, mandatory sentence. You know, and this is what is the poison, mandatory minimum sentence, because it takes away the discretion of judges to look at the totality of facts. Now, that was in 1973 in New York State. These were the laws that initiated the federal mandatory minimum sentencing laws that followed in the 80s, where virtually every state had a mandatory minimum sentencing law. But then what had happened in 1990s and 2000, they incarcerated so many nonviolent drug offenders, hundreds of thousands of people, that it broke the criminal justice system. There was no room for people in prison anymore, incarcerating all nonviolent drug offenders. So this is why Obama went into survival mode to fix it. And he started fixing the system under Holder. And in 2013, in August of 2013, did the memo. Now Sessions comes into office, reverses that, and has a memo saying to use mandatory minimum sentences again. It's already proven to be a failure. Why go back to something that failed, that incarcerated hundreds of thousands of people, not only affecting prisoners, but those family members and loved ones of those incarcerated? Because prison does not stop at the prison wall. It goes beyond the wall and affects the loved ones of those that are incarcerated.
Anthony, just the optics of what has happened is interesting. You had a black president with his two black attorneys general addressing this issue that disproportionately impacts people of color. We've got a white president with a white attorney general, both of whom have been tainted with dalliances with known racists and, you know, put forward the sort of tough on crime, law and order, coded language that of the kind we saw under Reagan. And we're going to see this, of course, disproportionately continue to impact people of color and poor people of color, aren't we?
Of course. This is the way it was, and it still is. And under the Trump administration, it continues.
Right. And there weren't that many things that President Obama did for black people, but this was one of the few.
Well, Obama did his best. But I mean, the system was so broken that you couldn't say, you couldn't blame him for, he tried his best. And you had all the right wing, the Republicans against him. It's just a big mess. You know, I hope Congress steps in now and realizes that the mess that was made, and Congress initiates some type of, laws that would stop legislation that would stop the initiation of mandatory minimum sentencing, because it's a proven failure. Many of these Congress people were there. They know that this is not the way to go. I think it's a big mistake. And soon, once the crap hits the fan, the Trump administration is going to see what's going to happen.
And these are, of course, the memo that Sessions issued. He can only oversee federal prosecutions and direct federal prosecutors. Do you hope that states continue to also adopt reforms in the right direction, even if the federal prisons continue to remain filled with long sentences of nonviolent drug offenses, that we might start to see some reform at the state level continuing?
Well, I think it is going to continue, but like I said, because it broke the criminal justice system, where so many people were in state prisons that there was no room for people in prison. And this, and also the state budgets.
Right. States are spending more on prisons than on schools.
Tremendous amount of money. So what they did to reduce it was do away with the mandatory minimum sentencing and let out many people in state prison, like New York State, for example. Under the reforms, the Rockefeller reforms in 2009, when Governor Patterson created, historic reform, Rockefeller drug laws reform, it reduced the prison population of New York State tremendously, where at one point it was 71,000 incarcerated in New York, what dropped down to about 11,000. So, it's proven that you do it away with mandatory minimum sentencing, reduces the prison population, and crime does not go up. It's a fact that crime has not gone up. So I think states will continue to do away with mandatory minimum sentencing. And I don't think they're going to follow Sessions with the mandatory sentencing laws that he wants to implement. It's just a total failure. He's a dinosaur in creating laws that were passed 20 years ago that did not work. It's proven it did not work, not cost efficient, and many lives are going to be ruined by this. So hopefully, they're going to discover this is not the way to go, and President Trump is going to, tell Sessions to cut out this mandatory minimum sentencing.
Anthony, how can people find out more about the books you've written, your art, and the work that you do? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I have a website. You can see my artwork, my political activism. Go to 15tolife.com. That's 15tolife.com. You can take a tour through prison through my art. I did many, many works, a couple of hundred works of art while I was in prison, and my activism. And also the Drug Policy Alliance, the leading advocacy organization in the United States that fights the war on drugs. Go to our website, sign up for our newsletter, drugpolicy.org. That's drugpolicy.org. Sign up on newsletter, get involved, speak out, join us, grassroots activists all over. Now, we're getting together. We're going to make a plan to fight Sessions and his attempt to roll back the progress that Obama has made to save many lives. And hopefully we can accomplish this and stop Sessions.
Well, Anthony, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
My guest is Anthony Papa, Manager of Media and Artist Relations with the group Drug Policy Alliance. He's also the author of This Side of Freedom, Life After Clemency, as well as 15 to Life, How I Painted My Way to Freedom. 15tolife.com is his website, and drugpolicy.org is a website of his organization. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. Oh.